What's up, my dudes and ladies? I'm Ian Houseman, your guide to the 21st century, and maybe you're wondering, how did we get here? How did we get to a rigged election, $33 trillion in debt, inflation out the wazoo, no one's able to get ahead in this country, in this economy, war in the Middle East, China, planting flags in San Francisco. Yeah, I can go on. Riots, whatever. How did this happen? Well, really, the world's always been garbage since Adam and Eve disobeyed God. But we have had like a nice break here in the United States of America. And we got to kind of stoke fires and bring back the freedom. So we have to analyze. How does tyranny take root? How does tyranny even get a foothold in the first place? There are three reasons. Violence, debt, deception. Deception is the worst because it enables the other two. We're gonna analyze these in a few articles I've been gathering over the past few weeks. And let's get to it here. First, I want to read parts of this article from American Thinker. And Why We Are Sleepwalking at the Tyranny is the title of the article. And it explains why regular people, mentally healthy people, common people, law-abiding people just go along with all this. The world is heading quite rapidly towards tyranny. We are in a revolutionary period that will dramatically change civilization. Few people understand the gravity of our situation. Here are some of the reasons why the majority of people seem oblivious to the danger. These psychological shortcomings explain why we are sleepwalking into tyranny. And it gives three reasons here. The normalcy bias is a cognitive bias that occurs in times of crisis, leading us to disregard any signs or warnings that we are in danger. Normalcy bias is a defense mechanism that lulls us into thinking life will just continue as it always has. It's a reassuring presumption that things will get better, or at least things will not take a dramatic change for the worse. Second one, massive people can also be detached from reality by the conformity bias, which also goes by several other names. Ayn Rand called it social metaphysics. People with this cognitive defect will look to their social group to tell them what's true. There is no independent critical thinking. It's the lazy person's way of acquiring his view of reality. No one wants to get in trouble, so they just succumb to the herd mentality. The third unfortunate human trait that favors tyrants was explained by Aldous Huxley. Huxley and Orwell each wrote novels predicting a dystopian future. Orwell's prediction involved a substantial amount of fear and coercion, and I'll get to that. But Huxley predicted a relatively smooth and easy transition to tyranny. Huxley said the world population would be distracted with trivial pleasures and would hardly notice the prison being built around them. He brilliantly foresaw how a society could sleepwalk into tyranny. These Huxley quotes demonstrate his prescience. Huxley said, "There will be a dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies, so the people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it, because they'll be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution." He said, "By means of ever more effective methods of mind manipulation, democracies will change their nature. The quaint old forms will remain. The underlying substance will be a new kind of nonviolent totalitarianism. The ruling oligarchy and its highly trained elite of soldiers, policemen, and thought manufacturers and mind manipulators will quietly run the show as they see fit." It's deception. Deception is how the camel gets its nose in the tent, how the horse gets his foot in the door, and the barn door. That's how they get in. Then the enemy, the tyrants, the criminals, and really they are criminals, they then take steps to replace your, you know, safeguards, your precautions. They use deceit to arrogate powers themselves. I got an excerpt of an article here from the Rutherford Institute, Postcards from a Police State, 22 years of blowback from the USA Patriot Act. I won't read all of it here, but ever since 9/11, America's been shell-shocked. We've been traumatized. And because we've been traumatized, we've been abused. Now, who is responsible for 9/11? Obviously, the deranged, psychotic Muslim hijackers and Bin Laden. Now, there's also, I won't go into what the idea thought that maybe it was really a CIA operation. It could have been. We do know the CIA is corrupt. We've established that they probably killed JFK. We've established the FBI is bogus because of Mar-a-Lago. And I've thrown out the possibility in a previous video that the Mossad is driving Israel to us warfare, and they need to be cleaned out. But 9/11 really was another camel's nose in the tent, because here's what it wrought. Mammoth legislation that expands the government's powers at the citizens' expense will not make anyone safer. These are a few lessons we've learned, or learned too late. Preemptive strikes will only lead to further blowback, talking about Iraq. War is costly. Tactics and weapons of war, once deployed abroad, will eventually be used against the citizenry at home. Yep. Allowing the government to spy on the citizenry will not reduce acts of terrorism, but will result in a watched, submissive surveillance society. News cycle distractions are calibrated to ensure that you lose sight of what the government is doing. You stop holding government accountable to the rule of law, the only laws that abides by will be the ones used to clamp down on citizenry. Do not turn your country into a battlefield, your citizens into enemy combatants, and your law enforcement officers into extensions of the military. As long as you remain fearful and distrustful of each other, you'll be incapable of standing against, united against any threats posed by a power-hungry government. Once you trade your freedom for security, the terrorists win. But back to this one. As long as you remain fearful and distrustful of each other, that's the effect of violence. We'll skip this one. There's a link to this article, to this page, on in the description of this video. Whether you're watching this on Rumble, Odyssey, Podcast, or Twitter, or X, link in the description. And if you find this content valuable, please share it, give it a like, subscribe to the channel, and give, you know, a subscribe. So first, we got to talk about violence. And in this article by Eric Peters, his blog, he says the problem boils down to this. Everyone has their take as regards to the problems besetting us. Few seem to grasp there is fundamentally just one problem. It is a problem that animates the others, giving them the power to be problems. And I disagree here, because there's actually a deeper problem below powering this one. But let's read on. What is this one problem that leads to all the others? It is force. Especially when its use and threatened use, which has the same effect, is legalized. If force institutionalized were taken away, there would of course still be disagreements, as well as annoyances, but that is all there would be, or at least mostly. Violence, its use and its threatened use, will of course always be with us, as there will always be people willing to resort to the use of force to get what they want. But they would be outliers, and occasional rather than ubiquitous threats. Most people are not violent and seek therefore to avoid violence. Down that road lies peaceful resolution and coexistence. Your neighbor does not like the color you decide to paint your house. He can ask you to paint it a different color. He can plant trees along his property line, so that he no longer sees what displeases him, and he's free to move. You may not like this neighbor, but you're not likely to hate him, because all he can do is ask you to paint your house a different color, plant some trees along his property line, or move. Because he has no power to force you to do anything, you're probably more likely to give some weight to his preferences and maybe come to an agreeable compromise. Libertarians and anarchists are regularly derided for advocating that institutionalized force, which is a tautology for government, be removed from human interaction. The accusations leveled include that the result would be mayhem. It's a hyperbolic and absurd accusation that easily demonstrated by noting the fact that friends and families base their interactions on libertarian anarchic concepts. No one is forced to be friends with anyone, and our families are bound by affection, with the occasional sad exception. In any case, no one is forced to remain part of any family. What is the government been called by certain philosophers and pundits? Government is a monopoly on violence. It's legalized violence. Police, military, they have the fifth freedom. They are allowed to kill. Now, they have to follow laws, rules, and regulations, but they're probably under threat of other, you know, people with weapons, like internal affairs or, you know, higher-ranking officers. The second pillar of tyranny is debt. And I posted a video a year and a half ago explaining why debt really does facilitate a lot of corruption and misery in the American economy. There is more debt than money. I posted screenshots of the Federal Reserve's tally of the money supply. And I posted a screenshot of the U.S. Treasury's count of the national debt. The debt was higher than the money supply. And it's probably even worse now because the Fed is supposedly fighting inflation, but we're like another $1 trillion in debt since last year. So, and why are we in debt? It's all a trick. We don't have sound money. The world used to use gold, silver, spices, grains, salt. We used to use tangible goods as currency. Things that were real. Things that held their value. Paper money, I mean, paper might, I guess, has, you know, a value. But the government can print, or really the banks can print as much as they want. The Federal Reserve is the central bank of the U.S., which powers all the other banks in this country. And then there's central banks in every other country. And they drive their banking system. Why do we have central banks at all? They loan money to governments and companies and individuals and families at interest. But they don't print enough money to pay back the interest. So they have to print that money and we borrow it to pay the interest, but then there's interest on that money and it's a never-ending cycle. It's a hamster wheel. It's a system of debt. We can never get ahead because of interest. The Bible comes out against charging interest multiple times, both in the books of the law and in the books of the prophets. The prophets would call out certain people who would charge interest on loans in order to keep people in a system of debt and thus in slavery. We used to use gold and silver. We used to use salt. We used to use all these things. But now we just use numbers on a spreadsheet as money. And banks, financial institutions, they can just create more numbers on the balance sheet to us on the spreadsheet to say, oh, you owe us this much. And you have this much in your account. This may sound like an argument against cryptocurrency, but the difference between digital money, like what we see in your financial services app, on your bank's app, versus Bitcoin is digital money. A central bank digital currency, the dollar, is controlled by a centrally controlled organization, the bank, the central bank. Bitcoin is controlled by thousands of people all over the world. It's decentralized. I'm a big fan of Bitcoin and also Ethereum. I think of Ethereum as the Robin to Bitcoin's Batman. So I also posted a very good video by the YouTube channel Crypto Casey. She goes through the history of the United States from the perspective of the banking system. Way back in colonial times, the American colonists, they didn't use fiat currency, or they didn't have a central bank. They issued their own money called colonial scrip, and there was no interest attached to it. One of the reasons, probably the big reason, as stated by Benjamin Franklin, for the American Revolution was Britain was trying to impose its monetary system powered by the Bank of England and try to, tax the colonists in order to pay their debt to the Bank of England. The banking system was really the power behind all the tyranny of George III. And then, Casey goes to the history of the United States, different presidents trying to either fight back the bankers and the banking cabal, like Andrew Jackson, and a lot of them getting assassinated by possible banks, maybe John Wilkes Booth, maybe Lee Harvey Oswald. But there were probably, very powerful interests behind them. Abraham Lincoln tried to issue the greenback as an alternative currency to the banks. Now, was John Wilkes Booth really a Southern sympathizer, or was he driven by some other powerful interests like banks? JFK tried to institute a silver-backed currency, and he was killed by Oswald. Now, was he killed by the CIA? We know that. Was the CIA working with the bankers? Was the CIA working with the Soviets? Was the CIA working with the mafia? We can't rule anything out anymore. I encourage you to go to my page and play this video, because Casey just knocks it out of the park as far as how powerful the banks are and how they drive wars and violence and misery all over the world. They took over through deception. I'll get to that a little bit later. This article from the Epoch Times. The time to audit the Fed is here. Senator Rand Paul, who is the son of Ron Paul, who has famously said, "We got to end the Fed." Senator Rand Paul is pushing an amendment to a major spending bill that would finally do what should have been done decades ago. It should have been an annual undertaking for the last 100 years. He wants a thorough and external audit of the Federal Reserve, using prevailing accounting standards to figure out where the billions and trillions are coming from and where they're going. Maybe the time has finally arrived. It's just in time. The Fed has put the country through an upheaval without precedent, causing outrageous distortions in the production structure, enabling lockdowns, funding despotic government programs, then reversing course and raising interest rates sky high just when people had more debt than they can handle. This is all on the Fed, even if its managers will never take responsibility. It doesn't take too much thought or understanding to realize that the Federal Reserve is truly at the very center of the problem of overweening power and reach of the federal government in all its brutality and unconstitutionality. In colloquial terms, the central bank enjoys the legal right to print money. That's a metaphor. It really means to purchase and hold government debt with money of its own creation. It sounds technical. What does that in fact give the government? But it does in fact give the government a blank check. This is why government debt has gone up as it has without any real recourse from the bond market. Every state government issues bonds, but they're subject to a rating standard by the markets. They're priced on the market according to risk. The federal government, on the other hand, issues debt that's universally considered AAA rated and the safest place for money other than cash itself. The only reason for this is the legal power to create unlimited amounts of bailouts. No state government has this power, only the central bank does. It's time to ask your own representative to support Senator Paul's bill. Why? For the sake of freedom, for the sake of sound money, for the sake of the Constitution. So long as the completely unaccountable Fed is in a position to print and throw around trillions of dollars without any real oversight, the nation's catastrophic problems will continue. We're looking at forever wars, forever debt, forever lockdowns, and forever corporatism until something gets done. And recall that Senator Paul is the man who held Dr. Anthony Fauci's feet to the fire. He should know he should now do the same for Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who enabled Dr. Fauci's dictatorship. So that brings me to a couple ways you can support this program and this channel. I'm an affiliate partner for two really great companies here. One is BitGet. BitGet is a cryptocurrency exchange where you can buy and sell lots of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, like Ethereum, like Polkadot, like Cardano, like, you know, even Doge or Shiba Inu. It's probably my favorite, you know, exchange for cryptocurrency. One cool thing about BitGet is you can let other people buy and sell for you to make passive income. You can do copy trading, or you can let a bot trade for you. BitGet has some really good bots on its platform. I've been using BitGet for several months now, and while I caution you, there's always risk. I've suffered losses, you know, I won't lie, but on balance, I've had some very good results with the copy traders on here. There's also, you know, the possibility of connecting an API to a third-party trading bot, like the ones on Three Arrows or Pionex, and letting them follow signals on other charts. So I might share some videos by some other great YouTubers and content creators on how to do that later. But if you follow the link in the description, you can get started with BitGet, and I'll get a little affiliate commission. So go ahead and take advantage. The other, you know, the next company I want to mention is Noble Gold. If cryptocurrency is not your thing, as far as like getting out of the from under the Fed's control, gold and silver is also great, you know, great option. People argue, oh, Bitcoin is better or gold and silver better. I think they're all great. There used to be a time when both gold and silver coexisted as currency in the United States. Then it was just gold, and then it was just fiat currency. But there's a long history of countries using multiple forms of currency. And Constitution even says that interstate, you know, trade should be done with gold and silver. And if we get a constitutional amendment, we can probably include Bitcoin. So Noble Gold is one of the highest rated gold and silver exchanges there are. You can even create a retirement account, an IRA, with either gold, silver, or both. And you can use these assets to deal with inflation. Ever since the pandemic, people have learned the importance of having an asset over just money. The way the rich get rich is often they're, you know, corporate executives. And they may have salaries, but really their biggest compensation comes in the form of company stock. Stocks which either grow or maintain their value over time. You can do this with Bitcoin. You can do this with cryptocurrency. You can do this with gold. You can do this with silver. It's just important to have an asset that grows rather than just counting on the wages from your job. So click on either or both of the links in the description for BitGet, Noble Gold, Acre Gold, Uphold. I've got lots of options here for you to, you know, take control of your wealth by take back your freedom by taking control of your money. So let's continue. The third pillar of tyranny is deception. We got an example here. The whole George Floyd story was a lie, according to Tucker Carlson. This is from Zero Hedge. Tucker Carlson just challenged one of the left's most sacred cows. George Floyd, an ex-con, who died with an elephant dose of fentanyl in his system and a history of health issues while in custody of Minneapolis police on May 25th, 2020. According to Carlson, we need to revisit certain popular narratives, including the circumstances surrounding Floyd's death, and in particular, inconsistencies between public perception that Floyd died under the knee of police officer Derek Chauvin, who's currently serving more than 40 years in state and federal sentences. For example, did a racist white cop actually murder a man called George Floyd, a civil rights leader in Minneapolis on Memorial Day of 2020? Now, we've been told that that happened, told it relentlessly for more than 3 years, and they are very, very pushy about it. Don't you dare question that narrative, or else we'll get violent. Carlson says, but the question is, did he, Derek Chauvin, actually murder George Floyd? Well, the answer is no, he didn't murder George Floyd. And we're not guessing about that. We know conclusively thanks to a new court case now underway in Hennepin County, Minnesota. The lawsuit, incidental to Floyd and Chauvin, unveiled sworn deposition excerpts from a conversation with County Medical Examiner Andrew Baker, indicating that Floyd's passing was not due to asphyxiation or strangulation. Instead, factors including drug use and a fatal concentration of fentanyl were significant contributors, reframing his demise from the widely publicized murder to an inadvertent overdose. Now, we also saw the video of Derek Chauvin with his knee on Floyd. Was that a bad angle? Just a couple days ago, I saw a tweet showing a couple pictures of Prince William from different angles. Same exact moment, but in different angles. In one picture, it looked like William was flipping the bird. But in another angle, it was clear that he was actually holding up three fingers. Is it possible that the video of Chauvin tackling Floyd was just a bad angle? We now know that it was the fentanyl that killed Floyd, not the strangulation. So, I mean, whatever you think of Derek Chauvin, like, I read that he had problems at home, and a lot of people on the force hated his guts. But was he actually responsible for Floyd's death in this instance? No. And that's just emblematic of so many other methods of deception. You know, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh like I did for 18 years, if you listen to his whole program every day, or if you went to his website and read the complete transcript of his programs every day, you knew he was level-headed. You knew he was reasonable. He liked to brag, but he was tongue-in-cheek about it. But if you watched, the mainstream media or the leftist media, but I repeat myself, they would pick certain clips and sound bites from his program to make him sound like a monster, a psychopath. They do this with Trump. They do this with every conservative, pundit. A lot of us are wise to the methods of, a lot of us are wise to the dark art of news editing. I hate having to pick and choose which articles I'm going to cover and which portions and excerpts I'm going to read from, because I think it's all great. Like, I want to give such a vast, in-depth, in-context explanation of my thought process, of my narrative. I just have to do it for the sake of time and space and bandwidth. But it really does pay to, be open-minded and take a wide view of things. Drawing parallels between movements like BLM and historical or international groups used for political leverage. Let's go back here. Let me go back here. In other words, George Floyd, according to the official autopsy, was not murdered. He died instead of what we used to call natural causes, in which in his case would include decades of drug use, as well as the fatal concentration of fentanyl that was in his system on his final day, Carlson continued. laying out how the initial George Floyd storyline was endorsed and amplified by mainstream media and ignited nationwide protests, intensive racial discourse, and movements like Black Lives Matter. Carlson interviewed Vince Everett Ellison, author of Crime, Inc., who discussed the possibility of orchestrated degradation and victimization of the Black community by political entities, particularly the Democrat Party. Ellison suggests that the glorification of figures like George Floyd represents an insidious strategy to perpetuate a certain stereotype of Blacks who are reliant on the system, thereby solidifying the voting base and maintaining a form of socio-political control, and then blaming on Republicans. Really? When the whole George Floyd BLM thing blew up, I realized systemic racism is evil, but it's not America's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. Do not dare confuse the Democrats for America. Drawing parallels between movements like BLM and historical or international groups used for political leverage, Ellison's commentary insinuates that these organizations could be modern iterations of domestic militias utilized by the Democrats for social manipulation and power consolidation. The unsettling comparison of BLM to groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, or the historical utilization of the Ku Klux Klan, paints a grim picture of political machinations where civil unrest is a tool rather than a byproduct. The Democratic Party uses BLM and Antifa as theirs, throwing the rock and hiding the hand. Of course they're going to do it. They've always done it. Even at the beginning, they used the Ku Klux Klan, he said. Now, how do Democrats and citizens and tyrants throughout history raise up these violent actors, these marauders, these gangsters, these standing armies? How do they muster up and get people to do their dirty work? Through deception. They lie to them. Through propaganda. Around Christmas, I'm planning to make a video titled The Hans Gruber Theory. It's a theory. I've made this case before. Politicians, tyrants, terrorists, criminals, they like to pretend they have ideological values. They pretend to have morals. They pretend to have religious convictions. But it's all smokescreen. Really, they're using it to muster up their goon squad to be their rank and file. And they're using it to mask their criminal activity. I'll read this, but I encourage you to go to my website and read the excerpts here. Understanding the Institutional Protection Racket via Congress, DOJ, FBI, and the FISA Court. Really, it goes over how politicians in Washington aren't going to enforce the law and keep each other accountable because they all have dirt on each other. They all know each other's secrets. They all have blackmail on each other, so they're not going to do crap. Also, this article. The Chinese Struggle Session, Obedience to Public Shaming. I think we've all heard about struggle sessions by now. You know, BLM made it popular. It was really an invention by Communist China, by Mao. Really, singling out certain individuals that the regime wanted to take out. And then whipping up a mob through crowd psychology and getting them to publicly shame them into committing crimes that either they didn't commit or didn't even happen. I kind of wonder if this is what happened to Jenna Ellis. I haven't seen the video, but like I said, everyone has blackmail and extortion on someone. And that's why I'm going to mention another real partner a little bit later. Actually, right now, NordVPN. A VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and it's a way of hiding your browser activity. It's a way of keeping your internet private and secure. NordVPN is my VPN of choice. It's really easy to use. It's the leading VPN. they're always having deals and such. They have got a 69% off Black Friday deal. So if you click on the link in the description, I'll get an affiliate commission, and you will get so many advantages with a VPN. I know you're all law-abiding citizens, but the powers that be, whether it's the government, big tech, criminals, the banks, if they have your browsing history, they can pick and choose what they want and make a case against you. Like I said, it's the dark art of editing. You know, Stalin's chief of the secret police once said, "You bring me the man, I'll show you the crime." They can make up anything they want if they have the material. Don't give them that material. Protect your privacy, your history with a VPN. Another benefit of a VPN is you can log on to a data center from, or you can log on to a center from anywhere, just about any country in the world, and you can access content from that country that might be restricted in the U.S. or wherever you are. Say if you want to watch a Netflix show that's only available in the U.K., well, log on into the U.K. and you can watch that show. Lots of countries may restrict, lots of websites may restrict, you know, access to a certain country or another, but a VPN is way around that. So go ahead and click on the link to a NordVPN, and you'll be doing yourself a favor, and you'll be doing this channel a favor. Now, there is some good news. There is some work going on to, you know, counteract all this. I keep saying we're in a race between the Great Reset and the Great Awakening. We want the Great Awakening to win. We need people to be aware of what's going on. And the only reason why the tyrants are able to get away with what they do is because they act in secret. They have methods of violence that we don't know about. But once we do know about it, we'll know how to counteract it. Once enough people know about the evil of the Federal Reserve and the banking system, then they'll be able to accept alternative forms of currency like gold, silver, and Bitcoin, and then make that the mainstream rather than the Federal Reserve notes that we use right now. We don't have real dollars. We have Federal Reserve notes. What we call a dollar is not really a unit of currency. It's a unit of debt. But once we make real money, once we make sound money mainstream, then we can break the banking system. One by one, Harry Potter is destroying Horcruxes. Who's Harry? We don't know, but someone is picking apart at the system. This article from American Thinker, "A Military Dissent, Invisible Treason in America." Recently, a consortium of conservatives and retired military officers published "Invisible Treason in America." Lieutenant General Thomas McGirney is a retired U.S. Air Force three-star general who graduated from West Point and was a fighter pilot during multiple tours of duty in Vietnam, a senior commander, and later a military analyst for Fox News and other organizations. Major General Paul Vallely is a retired two-star general who graduated from West Point, served multiple tours of duty in Vietnam, and continues to serve as a military analyst for Fox News, Newsmax, and other organizations. Both bring decades of passion, wisdom, and patriotism to this treatise on the Cultural War in America. The book touches on numerous potential non-ethical influences on contemporary American society, from concerns about suppression of elections to overt censorship and punitive actions against political dissent. Our government has been evolving into something the Founding Fathers had fervently attempted to prevent. Some information comes from interviews. Other points of discussion come from the best analysis possible based on government suppression of information and collusion with social media to stifle public discussion on matters crucial to our way of life. The fact that the federal government and social media prohibited and in many cases criminalized mere discussions of elections is counter to everything a free state stands for. Public fear of questioning election integrity to avoid violent government-sanctioned reprisal is a characteristic of totalitarian regimes such as Communist China and Nazi Germany, not America. But that is the country we are rapidly becoming. The truth must be found and made available for all Americans. Our country's survival depends on it. So, How do violent thugs like the SS or Antifa or the Red Army or Al-Qaeda, how do they form? Well, first of all, their members are all sick in the head. They're psychopaths, they're narcissists, they're sociopaths, they're Machiavellians. They're just bad people in their DNA. The other part is they've been lied to, either or they are liars. They use deceit to whip up fervor and stupidity and delusion in their followers. And thus, they're able to muster a force, a mob, an army, what have you. Art of War always talks about moral clarity in your army. So whether or not you have it really is going to help, really going to determine whether you're victorious in a conflict. How did the bank system get a hold of our economy and in our every single way of life in our government? Well, the politicians were lied to by the likes of J.P. Morgan, by Rockefeller, by Warburg in the early 20th century. You know, these men met at Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia. They hatched a plan for the Federal Reserve, and they schmoozed, they bribed, they blackmailed, they threatened certain members of Congress, and they got the Federal Reserve Act pushed through. And the people had no idea. It was done in secret. I think it was even done during Christmas break, if I read the history right. So, yeah. Deception powers violence and debt. And that's how so many things are ruined in a free civil society. The answer to this is truth. Now, we can use sound money to break the bank. We can use principles of self-defense and an armed citizenry through the Second Amendment to deal with violence. But we have to have truth. We have to have accurate information. We have to have a true understanding of how the enemy works and who's really responsible for what pains us, what's causing us all this grief. So I've got a lot more information I can talk about. You know, Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, he says the demise of the USA has to come from within. No external enemy can cause so much damage as an internal operation. I'm from a third world country, and I see cities in the U.S. where I wouldn't want to live now. This guy gets it. I'm a big fan of this guy. He led El Salvador to become the first country to use Bitcoin as legal tender. He has built a huge, gigantic supermax prison for a boatload of violent criminals, both in his country and Latin America, who are probably coming in. So he's doing his part to stop the massive wave of illegal immigrants and invaders throughout the Americas. So let's root for this guy. Let's hope his bodyguards are up to the challenge, are up to the task of keeping him safe so he can do his thing. But we've got patriots. Just as we have a deep state in every country, we have patriots in every country. We have white hats in every country. There are even white hats in China, I'm willing to wager. There are white hats in Russia, in countries where we think we would expect to be, you know, in deep shit with. I'll bet there are even white hats in North Korea. People who we wouldn't suspect, but who are probably working with our rightful president, Donald Trump, to bring down the system. Some secrets are good. Some secrets we need to keep from the enemy. We need to expose the enemy secrets and protect the White Hat secrets. It's a race between the Ray Reset and Great Awakening. It's also a chess game, moving the pieces taking steps to pick apart one little thing at a time. Can we do it before the bad guys exterminate us and wipe us out? That's the real question. So that's why I make these videos. That's why I'm active on Twitter and Rumble and Truth Social and Facebook and Instagram. There's so much information coming up from the grassroots to blow the New World Order out, blow the Communist Party out, blow the Nazis out. And if you think they're all enemies of each other, well, they're really just separate tentacles of the same monster. So I will let you go. Like I said, if you find this content valuable, please share it, subscribe, give it a thumbs up, and follow my website, NateHausman.net. I've got a lot of other articles and memes from around the web that I want to share with you. I've got a merch shop. I sell mugs. I sell hats. I sell t-shirts. And I got a whole lot of other resources for you to take advantage of to deal with this whole, to deal with this mess. So, I'm a houseman. I'm going to let you go. And I want to let you know, it's okay to stand up for yourself. Over and out.